Blog Talk Radio.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6, chapter 9th through the 13th verse. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is LSEC Publishing Radio, and I am your host, Teresa Banks. And no, your clocks are not wrong. This show was scheduled to start today at 10 o'clock a.m. Central, but you know how you'll want to start your day off a little bit sooner than planned. I thought I would move this show up an hour so I could go ahead and get my day started here. So welcome aboard. I am so happy that you've tuned in to this program called Storytime. And it's actually the very first segment of several Storytime type segments that I plan on having. And as you know, this show's title is the name of my company, or hopefully you know that, which is LSEC Publishing. And I thought, let me bring it on back home to the publishing side. I've been doing a number of different shows about various subjects, anywhere from weight loss to having authors on talking about their books and individuals talking about their products. So I thought, let me bring it on back, just as I did with talking about my books and having those authors on, to the general subject matter, which is publishing and products in regards to the book world. So what better book than to use the Bible? And I'm not sure of what your religion may be as you listen to this program, but whatever your ritualistic guide is, you are certainly blessed to have it as well. And my references today will be coming from the Bible. Specifically, I'd like to read the Woman's Devotional Bible, the NIV version, the New National Version. And I like that one because it not only has the Old and the New Testament in it, but it also has stories in it. And I like the different stories because, at least for me, they bring me on back to being able to relate what's being explained and broken down in the Bible with what I'm reading that can associate things to today's times. Now, I have to tell you, growing up, I would hear all the time that there is nothing new under the sun and that you should try a supreme being to make it in this life. And I remember kind of searching in my teens and in my 20s to try to understand, what does that really mean? There's nothing new. And to try and under my religion name, to try God, what does that really mean? And in essence, it means the more you live, honey, the more things happen, the more you discover that the only one in control a lot of times is our supreme being. And when you hand things off to a supreme being that you believe can take care of things always, then you do feel more self-assured that life's going to be okay. You're going to be able to make it through. Now, just a quick disclaimer, I am not a pastor, have never been anywhere close to that. In fact, I probably should be reading the Bible a whole lot more than I do, and I do intend on doing that. In fact, I ordered another Bible, and so I now have as a part of my my biblical stash here the King James Version of the Bible, the NIV version that I mentioned. I also ordered the Quran, and I plan on reading that soon. And my most recent purchase was of a smaller version of the King James Bible that I can actually read when I am commuting back and forth to work. But I've always been kind of interested in reviewing the Quran so that, you know how you'll hear what people say, how they interpret things. I like to read things for myself and see how I walk away with what it's trying to say. Now, just a quick side note, today I do have the chat open, so if you are at your desktop or laptop, you can sign on to blogtalkradio.com/ellasec, and you can sign on to Blog Talk itself and chat with me, and I will be doing a little typing today as well as talking, so I hope you enjoy this first edition of Storytime, specifically dedicated in talking about the Bible. Now, I am going to start off today on page 283 in the NIV version of the Bible that I have, and I want to start today reading off a story to you. It's called A Stone Called Ebenezer, and within it, it says, if it has been said that God is the God of every tense, past, present, and future. He is the help of our past, the hope of our future, and the great I am of today. After the Israelites had defeated the Philistines, they planted a stone and called it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." We, too, need to be reminded occasionally how the Lord has led in the past. If we placed a stone each time the Lord helped us, what a wall we would have. God has been our help in the past. As we look into the unknown future, with no clear path before us, we may become fearful. But God has provided for our future. Paul wrote, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. It does not say, perhaps he will provide, or he is able to, but he will provide. God is our hope for the future. We can thank him for the past and have confidence in him for the future. Yet sometimes we find it difficult to trust him for the needs of today. But we must remember he is willing to do the same for us today as he did in the past and will do in the future. He is the great I am of today, the all-sufficient one for this very moment. The Lord is my helper, Hebrews 13:6. Sometimes he takes us out of situations, problems, or needs. Other times he takes us through them. regardless of the way he works in our lives, we can trust him as our ever-present guide for today. Now, I want to talk about this story a little bit. And again, it's called A Stone Called Ebenezer in the NIV version of the Bible. And I can actually remember reviewing this story way back in 2001, specifically May 15th of 2001, because on that date I was laid off from my last job. And I actually put notes within the Bible indicating the date that I was laid off, being 5:15, and that on 5:20:01, I decided to begin reading more about the Bible and to tithe on a regular basis. And I realize some of you may have your different opinions in regards to tithing. I mean, some people feel that you are to do it without question. Just go ahead and tithe and not worry about where the funds are really going to be replenished in any way, but to just go ahead and do it because it is ultimately the way that you would trust God completely. And I realized that way back then, it feels like way back, in 2001, it was a whole lot easier to find a job than it is today. Although at that time it did still take me 2 months to find a job, but of course today 2 months is nothing, right? But I have to say that in reviewing that particular passage over and over, that here we are with the supreme being that took care of the past, already has mapped out and planned and made provisions for our future, surely enough can handle today as well. And although it took just 2 months to find a job back then, the worry and the concern still felt the same as it does today when people are taking way much longer to find a job. That worry being, you know, how in the world are you going to eat, pay bills, keep anything that you have that you may kind of want, like your house, your car, with no job? How long is it going to be before you find a new job? And what do you do in between time to kind of keep yourself steady, to keep yourself educated and remembering those skill sets that you have? All of those worries and concerns were still there across a two-month period. But I think what that passage did for me, that story did for me, is again, it just reminded me that although my life felt out of control and like I didn't have a handle on things, God knew exactly where he was trying to take me. And the same job that I started in July of 01, thank God, I still have today. So, you know, sometimes even though we are rushed to get out of a situation, a lot of times we do find that we have to wait on God. And in my humble opinion, it's worth the wait. It's just a test of our faith. And when we go through that test, I think something magical happens that I like to tell family and friends, and that's that when we go through it, that's the way that we cement our feet. That's the way that we know for ourselves what God can do. Now, something else I want to read from the Bible, actually there's a number of things I want to read for you today, but the next thing I want to read is one of my favorite Psalms that's in here. It's Psalm 23. And of course we know that Psalms were written by David. And I remember when I was in college years ago, I had memorized this particular psalm because there was just something about it that just really kept helping me constantly as I was trying to get things, you know, taken care of in those school days and taken care of in my life. And Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I realize if you are reading the King James Version, some of those words are slightly different. But I think in essence what those passages from the Bible mean, at least in my eyes, is that God is a provider. He'll take care of us. And I know sometimes we sit up and we may question that, but really think about what you're questioning sometimes. I mean, are you asking God to get you some new rims for your car, for example, or a bigger house, or to try and take care of things that you really cannot afford? Or are you asking God to help you in addressing things that you need? Because there's a huge difference between the things that we need and the things that we want. And I know that a lot of times we know right from wrong, but we keep trying to guide ourselves based on fleshly motives sometimes. And I think we really need to pause with that. And as we're talking with God, as we're praying, as we're taking those moments to reach out to the Lord and to say, you know, we appreciate you, God. We thank you. To repent for your sins and to talk about things that you've done and to ask for forgiveness, and then to ask God to help you through various situations, place it always based on needs and not on these different things that are really so artificial that we shouldn't even be wasting God's time, in my humble opinion. Now, there's a couple of other pages I want to flip to and read to you. And again, some of these are stories and some are passages from the Bible that have just really touched me the most in my life and helped me get through. And I'm hoping that in reading them, they're going to help someone today. This next story is called Temptation's Strategy. Buckle up already, right? Temptation's Strategy. And it says, Satan is very clever. Always his strategy is to confuse reality, to make evil seem good. He knows Eve is living in all the splendor of Eden, with all of her needs met. How do you get at someone who is contented with good? The serpent has a plan. He approaches the woman with a theological discussion about God. That is a safe subject. She likes to talk about God. The serpent queries, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The serpent makes an overstatement that he allows Eve to correct. But in doing so, he makes her aware of a restriction. God is keeping something from her. The woman corrects the serpent. No, God isn't like that. Then she makes her own overstatement of what God has said. Genesis 3:3. Yet instead of declaring that the garden is lavish, and its provision for her need, and that one tree doesn't make all that much difference, the woman lets the serpent trick her. He focuses her attention on the one forbidden tree, suggesting that God is keeping something good from Eve. He casts doubt on the character of God. Doubting God makes it easy to take and eat. Eve's attention is riveted to that tree. Not the garden full of goodness, not God's gracious fellowship and provision, just the tree. It looks good. It pleases the eye. It is desirable, Genesis 3:6. The more she looks, the more appealing it becomes. It's always that way when Satan gets us to concentrate on the temptation instead of on God. I suppose the temptation has been replayed again and again in the history of the human race and probably in each of our lives. The specifics are different, but the strategy is often the same. How many times has the serpent tempted you to think, a good God wouldn't keep me from this, would he? The serpent won his encounter with the woman. She took the fruit and gave some to her husband. It will be a long time before another one will say, take and eat. And this time, he will provide his own body and blood as a ransom for their sins. Wow, I think that particular story is something else, honey, because just about every day, you're tempted by something. I have a cousin. I remember growing up as a kid, I have a cousin who once said, you really have to pray and repent daily. You need to pray and repent daily, she said. I believe that now. I understand that now because it feels like as soon as you wake up, it seems like as soon as you maybe talk to a particular person, it seems like as soon as you are placed in a certain situation, you're tempted to do something wrong, you know? Like some people may go into work and they feel innocent. Someone does something to them, now they have an attitude all day long. Or before they leave work, they've walked out of there with different supplies from the office. Or by the time they get home, they're mistreating somebody, either a friend, a family member. There's always these different temptations to act outside of ourselves and say things and do things that we know we should not be doing. I remember visiting a cousin that was ill recently, and he was talking about that at great length, that what gets frustrating is that you know better. But, baby, Satan knows our weaknesses, right? He knows how to place us in things where we are questioning God, where we are questioning right. But you know what I heard a pastor say one time when I was sitting in church about that? He said, that's why you stay in the Word, meaning the Bible, or whatever your ritual is that you use, to stay in the Word. Because he said, when you do that, and you come upon those different temptations, you will see them for what they are, and you will pray or you will reflect on what those words said to help bring yourself back. And really, I guess that's why a lot of people go to church a couple of times a week. It's like a constant reminder to help pull you back. Let me read a little bit more for you, and then I'm going to wrap things up today. The next passage I want to read, it's really short. It says, reflect. I need to slow down. And I'm asking the Lord to help me do it. I want to move slowly enough to be aware of all the joys he has hidden for me. I want to slow down enough to grow as he wants me to grow. I want to be quiet enough to hear his voice. I need his wisdom to know how to spend my time and how to order my days. I like this short passage because you know what? We do we do put on our skates sometimes, as I like to call it, where we're racing so hard that we can just barely see what's going on or barely smell the roses, as some like to say. There are two more things I want to read to you that I'm going to close for today. The next one is called The Armor of God. It's within the Bible passages themselves and not a story. It's on page 1305, and it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." I like that, too, because, again, in a nutshell, it teaches us to pray, to repent, to remember in our head what God is saying so we can replace that with the evilness of what Satan and sin is telling us. Now, finally, I want to read a last story to you. It's called Righteousness and Authority. And, of course, besides the biblical pages themselves, this is one of my favorite stories. It says, you're at the beach, you're famished, you find a restaurant, you rush in, you spot a sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service. This message is clear. To be accepted, you must be clothed according to the restaurant's standard. God also has a standard. But he makes it possible for you to be accepted to him at all times when he gives you righteousness as your clothing. Job 29:14. The word righteousness in its simplest form means right and just. The word also means acquitted, vindicated. Your faith in Christ enables God to regard you as righteous. He doesn't see your sin any longer, but he sees you as clothed with the righteousness of Christ. As such, you are acceptable and properly dressed to come and dine. If you have struggled with feeling too unworthy to be called the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5-21, realize that this clothing you are given is like a uniform, that because it represents righteousness, also carries authority. Have you ever seen a gigantic 18-wheel semi-trailer truck groaning to a stop just because a police officer walks in front of the traffic and holds up his hand or her hand? What gives this person the right to command such respect? Certainly not parentage, social status, education, personality, or even church affiliation. The officer stands confidently in front of this awesome king of the road because of the right clothing. The uniform has undeniable authority. At the moment of conversion, you were issued a righteous uniform. The Lord not only covered your past, but also gave you authority over your future with the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. God gave you power over sin. As a child of God, you have the righteousness of God. You have the power
that backs the badge. You have the power that backs the badge. Take that lesson with you today. Pray and repent often. Be thankful to your supreme being for everything. And remember in life that ultimately our supreme being has all control and can help us through anything. I am going to bring this first story time to a close. I thank you again all for listening. Don't forget to drop me an email at mailtobanks@aol.com, spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at aol.com. Become a friend on blogtalkradio.com/Ellisek of the show. Keep in mind I am out there on MySpace and Facebook, so I hope you'll check me out or, again, follow this show. Don't forget also to swing by Amazon and pick up copies of all four of my books, Woman of Integrity, Becoming a Published Author, Barrenhood, and Surviving a Layoff. And I hope I see some of you tomorrow at the Woodson Library, 10:30 in the morning is when I will be a part of an author panel talking about my books, talking about myself, answering questions, and I'll be amongst other authors that will be there as well. The event is sponsored by a company called Books, Inc., and I cannot wait to see some of you as well as to sign some books. I cannot wait. Hope to see you then. Until then, take good care of yourselves. God bless you. No worries. Don't have any worries today.